it looks like we need to top up our glasses here.
Yeah.
So why don't I just do that before we get going. And this is, let's see, what do we have here? I can't read it. It's so French.
It is so French. I just remember it tasted good. I think it was a Pinot Noir.
It looks like it says QVJMF.
Oh, it was a Cuvée.
Cuvée. That's a type of grape?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
And it's not that old. It's 2015.
Cool.
It's a red. It's... was what I picked up in France.
All right. Okay, so you and I, Rachel Leigh.
And Erin Ardicott.
Got to Prague today.
And it's beautiful.
It's wonderful. We love it already.
But we're not going to talk about it right now.
No, not this time, because we just have to talk about our last couple days in Paris.
Yep.
So, first, before we kind of get started, I just want to... mention, which so we didn't mention last time because we were pretty liquored up.
Yeah.
We have over 1,000 downloads on the podcast.
Cheers!
So to anyone who has downloaded and listened, or downloaded and not listened.
Or listened and not downloaded.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I think we're at about, I think we're at about like 1,100 right now.
That's really exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're really enjoying doing it. So please continue to listen.
And email us, too.
We really want to hear from you. Like, do you like what we're talking about? Are we getting things wrong?
Ask us questions.
Because
I'd love to do some kind of, like, well, maybe not, like, 1,000 celebration, but we're coming up in June. We have been doing it for a year.
Yeah.
Officially.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be fun to do some kind of fun episode for that. And I'd love to have people ask us questions or do something fun, but... people would have to email us for that to happen.
So please do that. Or you can tweet at us, too.
Or we'll guilt our friends.
Yeah.
You know who you are.
Message.
Okay, so what did we do in our last few days in Paris?
Well, the first thing that we did after we left off... well, you went to the Louvre in the morning and I joined you later. My lip... you wanted an update. We also promised our listeners an update on my lip. My lip, like, massively swole up.
It was worse the next day.
It was worse the next day. I looked like a total duck, and it really hurt. So I stayed in bed. I took a bunch of allergy medication, and Rachel went off to the Louvre.
Yeah, I went to the Louvre and wandered around by myself, and which is nice. I mean, it's always lovely when you're having, you know, you're traveling with somebody that you get to have a little bit of alone time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I got to have a little bit of alone time to wander around, and I didn't find a paper map, so I just sort of did it on a whim and found a lot of French paintings, and eventually I kind of thought that I wanted to purposely find that, there's a famous painting there, I don't know if you've heard of it, the Mona Lisa?
Oh, you mean that one with, like, the smile and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was getting hungry because I realized I hadn't eaten. I'm like, well, I gotta go find the Mona Lisa and I'll sit down for a while. And so I found my way into sort of the Italian painting area and saw some really lovely Da Vinci's on the way, which is always exciting. One of your favorites, the Madonna on the Rocks.
Madonna on the Rocks. I did join Rachel later, and so I got to see it as well. It is possibly my favorite painting in the world.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I did find the Mona Lisa. She was, of course, surrounded by people. I managed to elbow my way pretty close.
Yeah.
It was basically the experience that I was expecting.
Yeah, the Mona Lisa's kind of... the first time I saw the Mona Lisa was... I was 15 or 16. And I didn't really care about art. And I was just like, what is going on?
There's a period of your life where you didn't care about art?
I was being a rebellious teenager and my mom really liked art.
Oh.
And I was like, I don't like art because you like art.
That's weird.
I was a weirdo.
Yeah. But then, so I think, honestly, like, one of my highlights of Paris was the lunch that I had at the Louvre. Not because the food was good, because it wasn't.
The food we had in the cafeteria was much better.
Yeah, the food we had at the end of the day there was better, but I just kind of got this like packaged salad, and I had a bagel, which was good. I love bagels, but the salad was awful. Yeah. And I had a little wine, and that was fine. But it was in this little cafeteria at the very end of sort of the French Revolutionary era paintings and Italian paintings, and it had this balcony that looked down into the courtyard of the Louvre and the pyramid and towards the Tuileries Gardens, and it just was absolutely beautiful and shady, and yeah, it was just a really nice place to sit for 30 or 40 minutes and just enjoy my surroundings.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful area around the Louvre. Obviously, I wasn't at the cafeteria, but the Louvre is just gorgeous. And
because I was alone, there was some people near me who are obviously American or Canadian. I just had to be like, hey, isn't this great? Just I was like, I just have to say this to somebody out loud. Isn't this lovely? And they were like, oh my God, it's so nice. So yeah. And then I continued walking around, and you eventually did join me.
I did, and we went through, well, we redid the Italian paintings, but you met me at Nike, which is just breathtaking. I've seen her before, but every time she just takes my breath away.
So she's the sculpture that is basically like a body with your typical sort of Greek draped dress and the wings, but there's no arms or head. No, there aren't. Are there arms?
No arms.
So it's just a body with wings.
And it's...
But it's still beautiful.
It is incredible. I have a little replica in my apartment.
And I think the placement of where they put it is perfect.
It's stunning. I have some really good photos of it that we'll post.
Yeah, it's just sort of like as you come up these stairs, it's right in the middle and it's sort of placed on what looks like the front of a ship.
Yeah, and it looks so neat.
You weren't done.
I was just going to say, if you're walking through the gallery to get to it, like I knew she was down there because I've been there before, and so I'm walking down the gallery, and then just like bits of her start to appear, and like I can see her feet, and then I can see the way her gown is flowing, and then all of a sudden the wings appear, and it's just stunning.
Mm-hmm. They had the Venus de Milo as well, which is cool to see, but
it kind of blended in with all the other sculptures around it.
Maybe I've just seen so much crazy over-the-top Baroque sculptures that sometimes it's hard for me to get as excited about the more simple, like, antiquity sculptures because they're... Like, I know it's a totally different time period. Mm-hmm. It's just so much less impressive.
Yeah, it was definitely...
still very nice.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love the old, old sculptures, but I'm like, for me, it's like the Greek sculptures where the drapery is just incredible.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was very cool to see that. For me, I think the highlights were definitely the large, sort of monumental French... 18th and 19th century sort of like propaganda revolutionary pieces, the Jacques-Louis David's painting, like giant paintings of Napoleon's coronation.
I love those.
And just like a lot of different sort of Napoleon related scenes and Delacroix, things like the Raft of the Medusa, which are just, I mean, these, it's hard to imagine how big these paintings are. Like, I didn't studying them in class, I knew they were big, mm-hmm. but then you see them, it's bigger than a wall in your house.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I saw them for the first time before I studied them, which I remember talking in one of my art history classes, because, like, the books that you get, especially for, like, intro art histories, they're so small in there. And there was this one guy in my class who was like, this is such an unimpressive painting. I don't know why we're studying it. I'm like, you have to see it in person. It's huge. And the detail and the colors and just the way the reds come out in it.
Yeah, because like where you're standing eye to eye, you're almost looking at their feet and their legs. And so you see all these like jeweled, sparkling details of their shoes even and their dresses. And I really enjoyed all of that stuff. You know, there's a number of nice Ingres paintings, the Odalisque, and I did get to see a lot of stuff that I had studied in my 19th century art classes and my European art classes. So mm-hmm. it's always awesome to go through and, like, when you're not expecting it, be like, oh yeah, I know that one. I remember that one.
It was really nice going through it this time and knowing things and, like, knowing who the artists were and knowing why these pieces were important.
And then having me tell you stuff.
And then you to explain more. Because, I mean, I haven't taken an art history class, especially on, like, European art in probably 13 years. So it was good to have my memory refreshed. I also ran around the Louvre trying to get to the Medici wing, because I love the Medici wing. And I finally got to it, and I, like, sort of ran through it and was like, okay, time to run to our next thing.
Yeah, I'd been there for over 3 hours when Erin showed up, and I hung out with her for a bit, and then I had to go and outside and lay down and chill out, which yeah. I went and sat down in the Tuileries Gardens for not very long. By the time I found a spot, I had like 20 minutes to kill, and then I had to go, but it was nice. It was quite lovely. But then we had to go because we had a reservation, which I don't even know if it would have mattered if we showed up at that time.
It didn't seem to matter. Yeah, they were like, what? You have a reservation? I don't even know.
And it was so, like we mentioned before, we had the Paris Pass. So we did do some things that I think I wouldn't necessarily thought of doing.
Yeah.
But because it came included in the Paris Pass, we did it. And one was the wine tasting at the Caves du Louvre. The Cave du Louvre, however she pronounced
it. Yeah, we had a very, very French girl.
Yeah, she had the thickest accent, which was, like, enjoyable.
Yeah.
Being in the mood, but there were certain words that I didn't quite catch.
Appellation.
The appellation. So, basically, I pulled up the website here, they have a little blurb on the history. It was built in the 18th century by King Louis XV sommelier, who lived upstairs, or by King Louis XV probably, but the sommelier lived upstairs and managed the king's wine collection. And there was a tunnel from the caves to the Louvre to make it easier to transport the wine towards the king's festivals. And then eventually it was kind of shut down, and at this point it's not, like, connected to the Louvre at all.
Well, because they don't want visitors to the Louvre to, like, come and steal all the wine, and they don't want the people who come to the caves to sneak into the Louvre.
Yeah, so the actual tunnel is, I'm sure, gated off or
whatever.
But so it kind of was shut down and forgotten about for a long time, and then these two French guys somehow became aware of it or decided they were going to fix it up, and they got, I think, was it an American investor?
I believe so.
Who kind of backed them, and they totally renovated it and reopened it, and now they make their own wine.
Yep.
And they did a really nice job because it's really lovely down there.
Oh, it's gorgeous. And
they have all these interconnected rooms where there's, like, wine tasting tables. And it's got that sort of barrel vaulting that you kind of expect from caves.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain. Like, it was just the decoration was very modern and cozy and really kind of chic and
great lighting.
Yeah And they had a wine tasting bar, which was really overpriced,
but I enjoyed sitting in it. But one of the cool things that they did in the wine tasting is they have these little almost like test tubey things that are filled with, like, salt and sugar and all different kinds of tastes that you get. And then you had to put them on your tongue and talk about where you would taste it. And because that corresponds to the type of wine you're drinking.
Well, yeah, because a lot of the tour and the sort of idea behind it was around the senses.
Yeah.
So there was a room when they had kind of a game where you could pick up these things. Like, they almost look like giant wooden salt shakers.
Uh-huh.
And each one had a smell, and then you would guess what the smell was. And you had to put it in the right slot, and it would either, you know, green or red lights to indicate if you're right. They didn't always work properly.
No,
but it was still fun.
It was really fun. It made me feel smart because I was pretty good at it.
Mm. I was really good at certain scents, but other ones, not so much.
The flowers I was not that good at because all flowers smell the same to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this wine that we're drinking.
Yeah, it's the one.
It's the cuvée, is that what you said?
Cuvée, yeah. And so
it's from the Caves du Louvre.
Yeah, and it is quite delicious and a really affordable bottle too.
So we'll have to remember to maybe tweet at them or something like that.
Maybe they'll.
Even though we called your wine bar overpriced, but your wine is good.
Your wine is good. And that the first wine I had at the wine bar. Yes, I paid a lot for it, but man, it was delicious.
Yeah, we were trying to decide at the end, like, which bottle to buy. And Erin really liked that one, and she asked, and it was way above budget.
It was, like, 68 euros or something like that.
Yeah.
I was like,
we'll get the one that's 15 euros.
It was also really good.
And I got the Sauv Blanc, which we tasted on the tour, which I really liked. So I'm looking forward to opening that at some point.
Yeah. And then once we finished that, we were very Parisian. Well, I don't know if we were Parisian or touristy.
Both.
Both. So we went to a grocery store and we grabbed a picnic. We grabbed some Belgian beer or a lambic.
But it was so good. It was the sour cherry lambic. It was delicious.
Oh, it was so good. And we had a picnic on the grass by the Eiffel Tower.
We had a baguette and some Edam cheese and some...
Camembert.
Oh, yeah, some camembert and some kind of salami and we went...
Tomatoes.
We went and sat on the grass in the Champ de Mars and had a picnic and drank our beer. And one thing I will say for very touristy areas like that is that people... will try to come and sell you things every 10 seconds.
Yeah, that was really annoying.
So you kind of just have to, like, deal with it. Because every like, 10 seconds, 30 seconds, somebody, you know, comes up and, like, selfie stick, beer, scarves.
Champagne. Keychain.
Yeah, they're just constantly in your face trying to sell you shit.
Except for the one thing we needed, which was a bottle opener.
Yeah. Yeah, but these nice German girls helped us pry our beer open with a lighter.
Yeah, we were like, thank you, nice German girls. And then I took their photo for them.
So that was nice. We just sat under the Eiffel Tower and kind of chilled and waited because we were going to go on air a river cruise on the Seine River.
Yeah.
And also on the Paris Pass. We're not being paid by the Paris Pass to promote them.
There is in no way a promotion.
We're just saying what we did.
Yeah, and it was just really, it was really useful.
And so we went and waited to get on the boat cruise, and it was definitely a bit chilly at that time of night, but I think we both really enjoyed that. And I think the coolest thing about it, like, of course we get to see the buildings from the river, but the coolest thing about it was seeing people that look like Parisians.
Yeah.
Hanging out all along the river on sort of, like, there's lots of concrete steps, having little picnics, drinking wine and beer with their friends, hanging out on a, oh gosh, what was it, a Tuesday or Monday?
It was Monday.
On a Monday night, just sort of like hanging out in the city. And it felt like you kind of got to see a slice of life.
It was really neat.
Of the city. So, and saw like some nice areas from the boat that I thought, oh, that looks really nice. If I come back, I'll have to go and
hang out there.
Hang out in that area.
Yeah, no, it was lovely. And that was about it for that night.
Yeah, we were pretty begged that night, I think.
Well, that was a long day, especially for you. And I still wasn't feeling well. My lip went down by the end of that day, almost completely. But I think I was just kind of begged from all of the allergy medications and my body fighting whatever it was that was causing my lip to be big.
And yeah, so Tuesday, we went to go see the catacombs.
Which were incredible.
Yeah, we loved them. And we got there, so they opened around 10 a.m. We got there around 11:15. And there was a huge lineup. We waited in line for about an hour and a half, I think.
Yeah.
But it was worth it.
It was so worth it.
It was kind of cool. We met this cute British couple who were standing in line beside us, and we're total nerds.
Oh, yeah. They liked Pokemon like I do. And
Supernatural.
Yeah, they were really had a lot of questions about Vancouver because Supernatural is filmed there. And so they wanted to know if we, like, ran into them in the streets and stuff.
So we kind of, I don't know, like, they were confused about the lineup, and I started talking to them. And I think right away we kind of, like, sussed out each other's nerdiness.
Yeah, well, I mean.
And we ended up chatting with them in the lineup for the whole hour and a half.
Well, like, she had colored hair. You and I have colored hair.
Yeah.
It was good.
He was wearing Pokemon gloves, too.
He was wearing Pokemon gloves. So we had a great time with them. would have loved to have said goodbye to them, but they fell behind us a lot once we got inside.
So, Jack and Kate?
Jack and Katie, yeah.
So I know you guys are not going to ever, like, find this podcast and listen to it, even though I mentioned we had one, but we didn't tell you the name of it. But if by some miracle you do, Jack and Katie, it's nice hanging out with you.
We really enjoyed it.
We had a good
it.
Time. We drank some coffee, talked about how it was cold, and talked about nerdy cartoons and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then we finally got into the catacombs and walked down about 150 stairs.
Yeah, it was really quite dizzy.
So Tuesday was the day of spiral stairs.
We did a lot of them.
But the catacombs were... And so for this one, we got the audio guide. And at first, I wasn't sure I wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I ended up being quite glad to have it. Because sometimes there's a lot of times you're kind of walking down empty hallways for a long time.
Especially at the very beginning.
Yeah. And it was nice to kind of have something... getting some history and some information as you're sort of walking down the more boring parts.
Yeah, because when you first get into it, there's not a lot there. Mm. You're really just, like, walking down these hallways. And so they're telling you, you know, why the catacombs were created. And the reason was they had overflowing cemeteries is really the main reason, is there were too many
It was about the fact that there were quarries.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, and that was goes back as far as the Romans. And... Mm-hmm. So lots of rock quarries for them to build different kinds of baths or arches and things like that. So that's sort of where the big open hollow spaces come from.
Yeah.
And actually, quarries play a lot of part of like history of different in Paris in different ways. Like, you know, they talked about how at one point in the 19th century, a street collapsed into the earth because it had become unstable. There's also lots of other things that have sort of been made or discovered, like the Montmartre Cemetery, which we visited, which we'll talk about, used to also be a rock quarry.
Yep.
So there used to be a lot because they would just dig out all these rocks constantly from directly under the city because it had this great limestone and... I don't know a lot about rocks. I know there was definitely limestone.
Yeah.
But they kept, like... And, like, you think that that would seem like kind of a dumb choice eventually to keep digging out the ground hollow directly underneath the city you're building stuff on?
Yeah, it's gonna work out super well.
But eventually, yeah, they did have this, like... Overflowing cemeteries was a problem in Paris a few times.
Yeah.
And especially after the French Revolution, they had, like, just all these bones and skeletons and...
Well, Paris, so most cities don't put all their cemeteries in their city's core, but Paris did that. They had a bunch of cemeteries in the city's core, and so they couldn't make them any bigger because you'd run into houses and buildings, and so it got to the point that there was no place to put any more bones, and they were started like stacking skeletons, and then there was a cave-in, and it was just very problematic.
Yeah, I was reading about the Montmartre Cemetery that it was a mass grave at one point just for French Revolution people.
Yup.
But yeah, so eventually, I don't know if it was Napoleon III era, maybe.
Probably a lot of stuff.
Late 19th century, when they kind of decided, like, hey, we have these quarries, we have all these bones, let's make this a tourist attraction.
Well, it wasn't even originally meant to be a tourist attraction. Originally, they decided they needed a place to take the bones, and so they would transfer them over. And then in the 19th century, people were like, this is interesting. And so they used to have, like, rich people go and tour it.
Yeah, it'd be like, they'd play music down there. They'd have concerts that were, like, themed around the more macabre, you know, classical music. They'd probably do, like, you know, spiritualism seances and shit down there.
Yeah.
Super cool. I mean, I got some postcards from the gift shop that have, like, kind of woodcuts of these really, like, Victorian-looking old-timey people walking around looking at bones, and they're all now arranged quite nicely along the paths and stacked with the skulls sort of like making different shapes, and like I knew what I was gonna look at, but when you're down there, like, it's just like, oh my god, there's so many dead people.
There are so many. And I don't know, like, it didn't even really strike me how much, because it almost seems unreal.
To be clear, it doesn't weird me out at all.
Yeah, it doesn't weird me out either, but it's almost unreal. Like, you...
It's... Yeah.
You're looking
You're not supposed to touch any of the bones.
We didn't.
No, I definitely touched a lot of skulls.
I did too, but I was going to try to not give myself away.
They... No, I had to.
I know.
What are they going to do?
Yeah, it's not like we did not take any of the bones.
Nobody searched our bags, though.
Yeah, they say that.
The website says that it's just like, we're going to search your bag and you'll be prosecuted if you take any.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie, I was tempted.
I really wanted to, but I was worried that everything would, you know, like.
I regret it now. I wish I had. I'd put it in my bra. Just a little one. Just a little skull.
A little tiny skull.
I'll hide it in my bra. It'll be like a third boob.
Find a baby skull.
Yeah, cute.
Cute baby skull.
Remember when you had to talk me out of stealing shit off that little boy's grave?
Yeah, that's coming up later. The weird things Rachel does in cemeteries.
I love them. Okay, so enough about the catacombs. They were fucking awesome. And macabre and cool. And you have to wait a long time and you have to pay for it. But it's worth it.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah.
Then we tried to go to the opera house.
Yeah, because we had, like, with the pass, it was our last day with it. We were trying to use up things we could do. But apparently the English tour books up, and it's really early in the day, and so...
And you can only go in with the tour if you want to go in for free. So we couldn't even get into the opera house for free.
Well, we could have if we'd paid.
But that's the thing, is we just weren't really... I've already been in there. We're going to the Hungarian opera later, so we just sort of decided there's no point.
Yeah, and this lady in line, we already knew that this was a thing, that on basically on the same street, there's like a kind of a cheesy little touristy movie theater where you can just go for like 40 minutes and watch like this little History of Paris thing. And we were chatting with her about how you couldn't get in. And she's like, you know what, it's actually like, it's pretty okay. And at that point, my back was really sore, as it has been the whole trip. And just the idea of sitting in a theater was appealing, so we grabbed a sandwich and some drinks, and we just went and watched the movie, and I thought it was good.
I thought it was really cute. Like, I didn't learn a huge amount, but you got to see some interesting sights, because they took you in, like, the camera would go into places that were behind the scenes, and so... Like, as a
we got to see the inside of the opera house in the movie.
Exactly.
That's cool.
We got to see the Louvre with no people in it in the movie.
Yeah, they definitely went over, you know, part of the history. I think they talked a bit about the Romans and definitely a lot about the 19th century and the Louvre and the Bourbon monarchy.
Favorite moment still has to be the time that they were talking about the Eiffel Tower, and they were talking about daring feats that had happened at the Eiffel Tower. And so there's this guy who had created a parachute suit.
Yeah, I think
like
he was
an
tailor.
Yeah.
A tailor.
A tailor. Like, and it, so it was like a suit, like a formal suit that you would wear that was also a parachute. And
all these people crowded around to watch him jump off the Eiffel Tower and fly in his suit.
And so you see him hesitate.
And they're showing in this movie the actual footage of this guy doing it.
That you hear he's standing on the edge of the Eiffel Tower. He goes originally to step off of it. He wavers. The crowd cheers him on, so he jumps off and he plummets to his death.
And they show it on the film, him hitting the ground.
And just like...
And then the narrator's like, and he died. We're like... Okay.
We were sitting right by these children, and I was just like, this is really weird, but amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, the one comment I have to make about that, too. Who in an empty theater sits right beside people?
Oh, God, I know. I mean, it was pretty empty, and these people, like, came and sat right near us with their kids, and we totally moved over a seat.
And then they moved over a seat. Yeah. I was just like, do you really want to sit beside me that bad?
And then we, like, crinkled our chips and sandwich the whole time.
Exactly.
I didn't even care.
I kind of wish I'd still had my fat lip, because they probably would have thought I was, like, a demon and wouldn't have wanted to sit by me.
Aw. So, yeah, we enjoyed our little Paris story movie that was, you know, again, just another thing on the pass that we were like, sure, what the heck.
And I think it's pretty cheap if you don't have the pass, so... Yeah. It's, you know, if you need to sit down or if the weather is terrible,
if you don't know anything about Paris, like, that's cool.
Do it.
So we headed home at that point, and then So I had a friend in Paris at the same time, which is always fun.
Yeah.
Steph. And we decided that night, because we'd been doing so much sightseeing that at the end of the day we're so tired that we don't really manage to like go out to and enjoy the nightlife because we're so tired from walking around museums for 4 hours.
Yeah, we just sort of pass out.
So that night we were like, no, like we have to go out. We have to like find a couple of cool bars. And Steph came and met up with us. And first we met her at this kind of rock and roll bar, which was really dead at the time, but mm-hmm. it was still kind of a neat bar.
Yeah.
And then I had found this bar, like just really close to where we were staying, called, I think it's Marluce et Le Pain.
I never learned the name.
Yeah, it's. I actually did not look up the translation. I believe Le Pen is rabbit. I'm going to look it up
right
now.
Yeah, it is rabbit, yeah.
And then...
Well, while Rachel's looking that up, we also, before we met up with Steph, we went up to the top of the Arc de Triomphe and watched the sunset.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was really nice. We happened to be up there right as the sun was setting. And we took some gorgeous photos...
And, yeah, we didn't spend a lot of time up there, but it is pretty cool up there.
We got our wine taken away.
We had our wine confiscated.
Yeah, we had tiny little wine bottles in our purses, and there's a lot of security for these sites, and it's not normally a problem, but this time they were like, nope.
It's not very far from where the shooting on the Champs-Élysées was, so I think they were a little bit extra with their security, but I don't know what we're going to do with tiny bottles of wine.
Okay, so I was looking it up, and I think Le Pen is rabbit, but I could not find anything for Marluce. I also heard that it's maybe the names of the owners, so there may not be a translation.
That would explain it, because I could not find a translation.
But anyway, so we went to this hole-in-the-wall bar that I had seen online, and it's very unique. And if you go in the back room, there, like, the furniture is made out of an old bed, a tub, some airplane seats, a sewing machine. She's very quirky.
Yeah, our table was a dresser.
Yeah, we had a dresser and, like, half the bed, which had been cut kind of, like, put a board in the middle and made into, like, two couches.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Yeah, it was great.
But, yeah, it was, like, really cool. We liked it, and we
met some very friendly people.
Yeah. One guy who was... We couldn't tell if he was trying to get us to come to his family's restaurant, or if he worked at the bar, or if he was hitting on us, or if he was just super friendly, or all of the above.
Yeah. And he kept introducing us to his friends, and...
I liked his friends.
His friends were great. Mm-hmm. I also met somebody in downstairs in the washroom who showed me that in Paris you can open the washrooms from the outside. So I learned what you have to like hold this little knob when you're inside the washroom where somebody can open on you.
You have to hold a little knob, Erin?
Yes. Okay. A little knob.
Gotcha.
Can't be a big one. It has to be a little one.
Oh. Yeah, we drank a lot of wine that night.
We did. I wasn't feeling too happy in the morning.
When I woke up in the morning, I opened my eyes and felt really hungover.
Yeah.
And then I was like, God damn it. I have to go see a medieval museum. So one of the things that was left on my list that I had to do was go see the Cluny Museum, the Museum of Medieval Art, because I love medieval art and I love tapestries. And they have some of the most beautiful tapestries preserved. And I said, Erin, do you want to come? And she was like, nope.
I was like, I like medieval architecture, but I really don't give a shit about medieval art.
You were like, I'm hungover and I want alone time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I went there by myself and I loved it. And they had, so if you're at all familiar with any tapestries, you've probably seen images of the Lady and the Unicorn tapestries, which are six really large pieces that they have there of a lady and a unicorn doing different things.
Yeah, I have to apologize right now to my mom, who sent me an email being like, these are the tapestries you have to go see and explain everything about them. And I turned it down because I'm hungover.
Forward it to me.
I will.
Yeah. Send me that email. I'll talk to your mom about it.
Good, because I think she's going to be really disappointed in me.
They had a lot of other ones, too, and just, like, really beautiful medieval iron workings and jewelry and sculptures, and everything was sort of in... I actually didn't see a lot about the history of the building it was in. It might have been there, but it might have been in French. I did get the audio guide. I liked how it was set up, because it wasn't like one after another, like you had to follow a particular pattern. It's just like there would just be numbers, mm-hmm. and whatever you were looking at, you could pick the number.
Oh, yeah, that was like the Van Gogh Museum.
Yeah, so I liked that. I spent a lot of money in the gift shop.
You did, but you brought home some cool stuff.
I did. I was tempted to spend more, but I had a little bit of restraint. Yeah, so that was my morning, and it was great. And then I came back and met up with you, and we decided to spend the rest of the day just sort of strolling around Montmartre, which is the area we're staying in, mm-hmm. which is very artistic and quaint and lots of markets and cobbled streets. And we went, like I said, we went to the cemetery in that area, which was a rock quarry at one point. And
I had to convince Rachel to not steal things from this little boy's grave.
And like I said, he didn't need them.
He didn't need them. No, he didn't.
No, he didn't. I only stole a rock.
There were a lot of rocks on there.
But they had like flowers painted on them, and I took one. But there were a bunch.
There were a bunch. She did not steal the toys. I told her she wasn't allowed to steal the toys.
So there are a few famous people buried in that cemetery. Among the ones that I had heard of, Léon Foucault, the scientist, mm-hmm. Edgar Degas, who paints all the ballerinas, mm-hmm. Gustave Moreau, a surrealist painter, and Marie Taglioni, a famous ballerina. And we also found a singer, Dalida. She had a very kind of ornate, interesting grave. We didn't know who she was, but we looked her up, and
she had a statue essentially on this grave. Well, we have pictures.
A statue of herself, yeah.
Yeah.
She was a popular singer in the 50s, 60s, 70s who eventually overdosed, killed herself by taking drugs.
She had an incredibly tragic life. Her lover killed himself, her husband killed himself. Her friend killed himself.
Yeah, people just were either killing themselves or tragically dying around her. And we just quickly kind of Googled her because we didn't know who she was.
Mm-hmm.
But she seemed like she had a real sad life.
Yeah.
So now I think we're just going to have to listen to some of her music.
Yeah, toast to her.
But I absolutely loved the Montmartre Cemetery. I think it is now my favorite cemetery. And we were walking around it, and it just kept going.
Oh, it went on forever.
It was gorgeous. And it just had all these, like, beautiful... I mean, it had lots of... Not just your sort of, like, fields of grass with tombstones.
Mm-hmm.
These were, like, full mausoleums. Like, one after the other after the other. Or, like, I don't know if that's what you'd call them. They're almost, like... This is a terrible way to describe them, but they're like the size of an outhouse.
Yeah, they're kind of like mini crypts.
Yeah, they are. There's like tons of small crypts, and they'd have statues and stained glass windows, and I mean, but some of them are huge.
Yeah. Oh, there was some of these monuments that were gigantic. Somebody had this like giant statue. You recognized it, the Michelangelo.
Oh, yeah. It was the Michelangelo's Moses in iron. And we couldn't even tell whose grave it was.
Yeah, it just said Ovid on it. And we were really confused because we were like, the god?
No, Osiris.
Osiris, sorry.
Osiris.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was kind of weird.
Yeah, it was very, very interesting.
It was a very nice replication.
It was beautiful. There was lots of cats.
So many cemetery cats.
So many cemetery cats that made me miss my Welly.
Yeah. So, Welly, if you're listening, we thought of you.
We missed you. Thanks, Michael Bain, for taking care of him.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're listening.
What do we do after the cemetery?
We wandered up into the artist square up at Sacré-Cœur.
Yeah. We hung out in that really... I mean, and this is like... Talk about your French impressionist artists. This is where Toulouse-Lautrec and even Van Gogh for a short period of time, and Renoir and Monet. I mean, this is where they hung out and drank absinthe. And
yeah.
So we hung out there. We had lunch, and we looked at... we did end up buying some art.
Yeah, we each bought a piece, and you got some print or some posters thrown in for free.
Yeah, just of the sort of like old... in Moulin Rouge sort of style posters, like not very big, just like an 8x10 or something like that.
Yeah.
And we walked back up to the Sacré-Cœur to go look on the inside, which is the church up at the top of the hill there. And it's not very old.
No, it is built in
1870s.
Yeah. I've been in it before, but I didn't really remember it. And so neither of us really had big expectations. We just kind of wanted to get it. It started to rain and it was thundering. Imagine there was lightning. We just never saw it.
Yeah, it was kind of cool being stuck up in that storm.
Yeah.
Which we, you know, we went into the church and it was beautiful in there. I mean, I shouldn't be surprised. All these churches are beautiful.
Yeah.
But this one had, which was particularly interesting to me, this really unique sort of modern stained glass, which I took some pictures of and we'll try to find some better pictures of online. But just, you know, you have an idea what you expect stained glass to look like, this sort of medieval template.
Yeah.
But this was really unique and I really liked that.
Yeah.
I bought a little book about it in the gift shop just because it had some pictures in it.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a rosary for my rosary collection.
You did.
And then we had the nice little surprise of there being a choir of nuns singing and it was absolutely beautiful.
That was definitely the highlight for me.
Yeah.
Was them doing their singing was just gorgeous. Oh,
it was ethereal.
Yeah. It was. We've had some really good religious experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, we wandered down. Rachel had discovered this hotel that was called the Le Hotel Particulier. And we'd read that it was sometimes hard to find.
Yeah.
It was very quirky.
It's literally hidden behind gates and gardens.
And there's like this buzzer that you need to buzz to get into it, but we couldn't find it. But somebody happened to be coming out, so we went in with them.
Yeah, it was you have to really know what you're looking for. Like, nobody would ever stumble upon this bar, which is, like, the most hipster thing
ever. And it got really busy in the end,
It was not very busy when we showed up. And we were kind of, like, dressed very casually and ended up walking around all day and had, like, bags from the shops. And we sat down and had our expensive but delicious cocktails. Mm-hmm. And, like, people were coming in and they looked very chic. And, like, I felt kind of out of place.
Yeah, we felt very out of place. But after our first cocktail, we were like, whatever.
We decided at that point on our last night in Paris that we needed to drink some absinthe.
So we did that. We had an absinthe cocktail, which was absolutely delicious.
Mm-hmm. It was really good. I don't know what else is in it. Something citrusy.
Yeah.
It's really yummy. We're going to have to drink some absinthe in Prague, too.
Yeah, we can go do that. There's like a bar across the street.
It's true.
I don't know if it has absinthe, but
we will find some.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, there's a whole list of things I want to do in Paris now that I didn't get to do, and I'm super stoked now that I'm actually in Prague, but I was a little sad to leave Paris.
Yeah.
I did really love it.
Well, and Paris did its best to keep us there. There was an incident on the train out to the airport where somebody had left a unclaimed piece of personal luggage on the train, which stopped the whole system. They probably had to bring in the bomb squad.
Everyone had to get off the train and wait for them to clear out the problem.
Yeah.
Everything was fine. Luckily, we left for the airport with lots of time.
Yeah, and we met some nice people.
Yeah, from Vancouver.
Yeah, of all places. Yeah.
And then we eventually got to Prague.
And we will tell you about Prague in our next episode.
But yeah, at this point in our journey, I will say that I think Paris has officially become my favorite European city.
Yeah.
To the point that I was looking up what rent cost.
Yeah. Paris, it had been quite a long time since I'd been in Paris, and then I'd been to Paris in a heat wave, and I just didn't enjoy it, like, the time I was there in a heat wave. But this one really reminded me why I love Paris. I don't know if it's my favorite European city, but it's definitely up there.
I'm trying to think of there's other areas I'd like to hang out in, the Latin Quarter. We didn't go to Père Lachaise, the big cemetery, but that's fine because I loved the Montmartre cemetery.
I've been to Père Lachaise, and I actually think the Montmartre one is more fun.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of famous people in Père Lachaise, but I thought Montmartre was actually more interesting than Père Lachaise.
I would like to go back to the Louvre. Although, I mean, I'm like, honestly, I don't even know if the Louvre was a highlight.
The Louvre is...
It's cool.
I love the Louvre. I love the building, too. Like, I just love the building itself.
Yeah. I think maybe that's more it.
I think Musée d'Orsay was my favorite.
Absolutely.
Museum or art gallery that we went to.
Yeah. Musée d'Orsay, the Montmartre Cemetery, the Catacombs.
Mm-hmm.
Those were all big favorites. I loved the Cluny Museum. Yeah, those are definitely way up there for me.
Yeah, no, Paris was
the service really at Notre Dame was also really lovely.
We did so many cool things.
Yeah. I definitely will go back.
Yeah, I will too.
What's a French cheers?
A votre santé.
Okay, so here's a French cheers. A votre santé. Je suis né au soleil levant. Le soleil est un peu mon frère. J'avoue que j'en suis assez fier. Et je le dis souvent. Avec le goût de la lumière.